live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's just gone 10:30 and it's time to talk to my guest for this hour. It's Judy Reith from Cambridge Widows. Good morning to you, Judy.
Good morning, Alex. It's lovely to be here.
And to see you too, and looking so well as well, and radiant, I'm going to say, even though you might be a little exhausted, because you can tell us why in a moment.
I will.
Now, when was the big thing? Because I felt like I've sort of lost track of time, because it's same for you probably.
Well, I think we all lose track of time in August, September,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
This blur of the summer, but it was back in March here at St Paul's in the middle of Cambridge, and we had about 30 widowed women and some men who came and sang for the day. It was a pop-up choir from scratch, and most people had never met before at all. Sophie Garner, our amazing choir leader, she's so used to building a choir from nothing in a day, so we were in really safe hands, and fun hands, I have to say, from the off.
Yeah, you came in to talk about it beforehand, but we just didn't know how it was going to go. And can you give a bit of background of why you decided to, one, start Cambridge Widows, and then we'll talk about the singing?
So Cambridge Widows came about by accident. I never intended to set up a group for bereaved women in our area here, but I met a neighbour who was also widowed. My husband died of cancer nearly 3 years ago. It'd be 3 years in November. And we then met another one, and then another one. And it was all a very organic process. But it was definitely about being amongst women who really, really get it, who understand the nature of losing your life partner. And particularly at this stage in life, when we're all in our 50s and 60s, a bit in some in their 70s now, we really hoped and imagined we'd all grow old together. And not be widowed until we're in our 80s or 90s or something. But to be widowed in your 60s, I'm 63 now, I was 61 when Adrian died, is really awful, because you have that sense of massive loss of a future that you're not going to have. And that's true whenever you're widowed, of course, but yeah, it really feels brutal. And I think the success of this group, we've got 52 on the WhatsApp group now, all in that stage of life, and that shows there's a need.
Absolutely. And I think you're right, and so right, in that this isn't the future you'd ever planned. And you know, as you get older, obviously we try and think in our heads that things are going to change, and yes, you might slow down a bit and you might start, you know, not travelling or not going out to things, but you're not in that time of life, and then suddenly you're thrown into a different complete scenario of what your life, future life, looks. And I was talking to Julian about it a bit earlier, that saying that, you know, it's all your friends are going to be very supportive and do anything they can to help you, but they can't be inside you and they can't feel the same as you feel. And obviously a group of people that are going through the same thing, it's very supportive, isn't it?
It really is. And actually, if you think about it, all the life stages, the big ones, so mm-hmm. when you leave home and go and meet your mates at college or out into the workplace, when you meet your life partner, when you get married, have children, if that's your story, they all create these moments where we suddenly are drawn to other people in the same stage who understand us. And I've been through those stages I just mentioned, but no more so than ever so really than being widowed at this point and feeling completely supported and understood by other widows. And I have the most brilliant, wonderful, lifelong friends as well, who are, as you say, Alex, alongside me, support me. You know, I've had everything from a coffee to a holiday. But life does go on. Their lives get busy. Their situations move along, and mine hasn't changed a bit. I'm outwardly still writing fiction, which is my kind of day job. I'm a life coach, but the internal mess of my heart is just as awful as the day Adrian died.
Oh dear. The good thing is, though, that you found this group. And like you said, how many on 52?
Yeah.
And that was coming from a couple of you that said, you know, let's get together and do this.
Yeah.
Now, you did the big sing, and that drew, how many people came to that?
About 30 turned up on the day.
Yeah,
and it was absolutely life-changing. There were so many people who walked in, and they told us later on that they just knew immediately they were amongst friends, even though they'd never met each other. There was just that instant connection through every
person. You didn't
person.
Have to explain yourself.
No.
You know, you didn't have to go through the, oh, I'm sorry,
no.
if someone says the wrong thing, because you know that
yes.
you're not going to ask those yes. sorts of questions.
So. Everybody's story was different. Mm-hmm. We had two or three people whose partners or husbands had died by suicide. We had cancer. We had sudden death. You name it. You know, we had mothers, people who've never had children, stepmothers, the lot. And I think one of the things that I'll never forget is at the back of the room all day we had a photograph of our loved one who died. And we lit a candle at the start of the day to just keep them in the space with us all day, as if we'd ever forget.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was so moving and wonderful to just see these lovely, lovely photos of all these men. And a few women from the men who came. Oh, she's going. Oh. So the widowed thing was so brilliant, Alex, and so uplifting and joyous. And literally, we were able to both embrace and pause our grief all day while we were focusing on singing. And you know how brilliant singing is. And Sophie Garner, who did it with us, has got the magic touch of getting anybody to believe they can sing. So for the next one, it's the 5th of October. Again, St. Paul's are hosting it for us. Not that it's a Christian event at all. It's just a venue, and they're so kind to us as well. All the profits this time are going to Hospice UK, and we've got people coming all over from Newcastle, Bristol, London, you name it. They're coming to Cambridge to do this.
And so how did they hear about it? Because you have been very good at letting people know, which is just what we need, don't you? Need yeah. to spread the word.
Yeah, so we've obviously Cambridge Networks Media and so on. I don't know if I'm allowed to say Look East. I am.
You can say, I mean, yeah. you know, to pretend that other places don't exist. Obviously, here's most yeah. exciting, but, you know.
It's, yeah. yes, I love it in here. But, we were on Look East, and obviously that was telly. And so we've had a huge influx of people who've contacted us from all over East Anglia. And actually, which is rather fantastic, is we've had a couple of people in Norfolk saying, how do we set up Norfolk Widows? How do, you know, so that's
going
to
be the next thing, isn't it?
See.
Have all these networks,
oh,
and
word.
Then you can all
yeah.
get together.
Yeah.
I can see you
yeah.
all in a massive place like the NEC
yeah.
doing
yeah.
a huge thing. And then there's yeah. going to be the film.
Yeah.
And then...
I'm already writing the novel.
Yeah. That's see, story. Exactly, exactly.
But, so it's the 5th of October and tickets are still available. Over, what have we got, 45 tickets sold now? So, you know...
So it's already like 50% on what you've already
yes.
had from
and
last time.
Big difference.
And,
yeah,
have the people that came last time, are they signed up again?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we've got a fan base of,
good,
of
good.
Choir people.
But, and it was men and women, wasn't it?
Yes.
There's quite a lot. I've seen the pictures, which all look really happy and very joyful. And what you're saying, obviously, I lost it just then, but I'm yeah. back in the room now.
Yeah.
And having your loved ones there, I think, is pictures of them. So they are in the room because yeah. I think there's an element of guilt sometimes when people, your loved one's gone, that you, especially if you're younger, you think, well, how am I, do I mourn them forever now? And of course you will. You'll never forget them.
Yeah.
But how do I move on, but without that sort of feeling of I shouldn't be laughing, I shouldn't be enjoying myself,
yes.
I shouldn't be doing that? And I know that's it can be a hard one.
Yes, it's and everybody's experience is theirs and unique usually, but I was, if I can call it, lucky. My husband was ill for 10 months, died. So we had the opportunity to talk about my life going forwards and our grown-up kids as well. And those were painful, tearful, horrible conversations we would never, ever want to have. But we had that opportunity. And the people who are bereaved suddenly don't get that opportunity.
Yes.
So I would say to anybody listening, it is all that advanced planning, actually. Have you written your will? Have you made it as good as you can? Should the horrible moment come where you lose somebody you love dearly suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do anything like that, honestly, it does help. But the guilt thing, we just kick that out straight away because
yeah.
we all know that our partners...
That's why being in a room with people similar, you don't have to need to even go there with that, do you?
No, we just know that they would want us to be happy,
yeah.
and they do, and to move our lives into a different space. And of course, we still cry, we still can't believe the relentlessness of widowhood. It just doesn't ever stop. But we can find a moment of joy somewhere every day, and the sing is joy all day.
So how do people get in touch? Because I'm sure there will be people. And as you say, you don't need to think that you can or can't sing because, oops, sorry, Sophie, who's doing it again, isn't
she? She is, yeah.
Yeah, will bring the best out of everyone, and no one's there to worry about whether you're doing this, that and the other. You're just going to have a lovely day, aren't you?
It's brilliant, and it's a laugh. And then this time, which is it, we're all staying to have supper together as well.
Brilliant.
That was a request from last time. So we'll be together all day long and into the evening. So that, and it's £80 for the whole day, and including a two-course lovely meal cooked by a Cambridge caterer and a drink as well. We're going live at 5 o'clock on Instagram as well. So if you want to come, we would love you to come. The only thing is, you need to be a widow or a widower. And you can get in touch with us via cambridgewidows.com, and all the information about the Big Sing, or the Widowed Sing as it is this time, is on there. There's a separate webpage.
It's a good name.
The Widowed Sing, which has its own little page actually. It's the widowedsing.com or cambridgewidows.com.
Perfect.
That'll find us.
And just stepping out of the singing, from that, or maybe as on the side of that, you've had you do lots of meetups, don't you?
Yes, that's how Cambridge Widows started, was just a Sunday night drink every now and again, and it's now a monthly meetup. And actually, we've got over 50 people who are part of that, and we meet once a month. Those meetups are women only, the drinks, but for the men, we also do a walk on bank holiday Mondays usually, and we include men. And we did one August bank holiday. We had 29 and lots of dogs.
Those sort of times are the times when you can feel quite lonely.
Totally.
Bank holidays, weekends,
yes,
when people are doing other things,
yes,
you don't tend to see necessarily your friend. You seem to, it's a kind of, that you're left to do your own thing, and then hang on, I'm not.
Yes,
doing that with anybody.
They are brutally lonely sometimes, because you just know that your friends and family who've got partners, still, they're doing nothing with them, or they're pottering around the house sharing domestic jobs, or they've gone on a day trip, and you're thinking, I suppose I could have fish fingers. You know,
it's
brutal, and mm-hmm. So that's why we do our monthly drinks on a Sunday. And we've just moved into one of the Cambridge hotels who host us beautifully, so that people
feel... It makes
feel
it easier, doesn't it?
Then
you haven't got to tidy your house,
because
another chore. Yeah. I'd say the thought of, lots of people coming round.
Yes.
Which is lovely, and when it was small and cosy.
Yeah.
And now there's so many people, but then you can branch off into little groups.
Yes, and people come in from all over the county to have that Sunday meetup.
Is it once a month?
It's the last Sunday of the month, yeah. And if you're interested in that, you can find us again through cambridgewidows.com or our Facebook page. You can ask to join that too. I think
I'm going to say there's no reason why the men can't start up a similar thing, and I'm sure you'd give them a few pointers.
We
if
would.
They
we
did,
would.
Because
yes.
I know a group from our choir.
Yes.
Not widows, but some of them were, set up a Zoom thing once a week when we weren't doing our choir. So just for the men, just to kind of check in and have a bit of a chat.
Yes.
And that's kind of what this is, isn't it, really?
Yes, that's it. And we women value those meetings enormously. The amount of messages we had on the day after our last one at the hotel was, honestly, I sat there just weeping, because they were so thankful they'd found this group, and they felt they were understood, they could have a laugh. We do have a laugh. We really do.
Good.
We have
good,
been known to dance in the style of our dead husbands.
That is just all truly wonderful, Judy. What you're doing is absolutely brilliant. You and Helen, isn't it?
Yes, and Leonie, yes.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, it takes three of us to run it now.
Yeah, because there's a lot of work behind that, but I think you're doing a great job. So I hope lots of people come along.
Thank you so much.
Cambridge 105 Radio.